Hey there. So the episode you're about to listen to was recorded a day before and a few hours before Coda Bank announced its 25 million Series A. So Coda Bank is a Nigerian-based digital bank founded in 2018 and they announced a 25 million Series A round led by Vala Ventures, which is affiliated with Peter Thiel, and Target Global, an existing investor, and other unnamed investors. If you remember, Coda Bank just a few months ago in November 2020 raised a 10 million seed round, which is touted as the largest seed round by any African startup. And now, just 4 months after they've announced raising $25 million in Series A. So the company plans to use the funds to expand on its credit offerings, build out services for businesses, add more integrations, and expand into other markets outside Nigeria. And from November 2020, when they raised the 10 million seed round, to March 2021, when they announced the 25 million Series A, Coda Bank says its customers base has doubled, more than doubled, from 300,000 to 650. We'll put the link in the episode notes or description, wherever you are listening from, and then you can read more about the fundraising. All right, back to the episode. Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Muiwa.
My name is Oluwani Femi.
My name is Mano.
So I think the biggest news this week, everybody is aware by now, Flutterwave has brought PayPal, now enabling merchants in 50 African countries to receive money via PayPal. Before, it was only possible to send money via PayPal, but now you can receive via Flutterwave. That was some interesting news.
Yes, it's huge, considering how Flutterwave rocked the news last week. So this week, we are glad, Africans are glad that they can now receive and make payment through PayPal. So Pay with PayPal is now a new feature on Flutterwave platform for people that use Flutterwave API or use the platform. So it's one of the options you can add, one of the payment options you can add to your dashboard. Currently, it's only available for registered businesses, but subsequently, individuals and NGOs and event owners can use it. So it's good times for us.
Okay, so for now, just registered businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll be watching out for when they enable individuals, because that will be very important for freelancers. That's good news. Hopefully, they keep to their promise of in the coming weeks. Yeah. And then, of course, GoCada this week announced their new CEO, 8 months after
the passing of Fahim Saleh.
Yeah.
Yes. It was 8 months already. Quite a dark time for GoCada last year. Yeah. Because apart from the death of their CEO, around July last year, they also, like other companies, faced the effect of coronavirus. And then earlier in the year was Okada ban that made them to pivot to last mile delivery. So putting all that behind them, now they have a new CEO, who have been with them for 18 months, and he has gone from one position to another. So immediately after Fahim's death, he was promoted to the post of the president, and he has been at the helm of affairs. So his name is...
What's his name?
His name is Nikhil Goel. He's also an Indian.
Okay.
And he has worked with Save Border Kenya and Zomato. That is Indian online food delivery startup. And now he has become the CEO at GoCada.
So he
has experience, yes.
He's definitely a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, now that GoCada has pivoted to delivery, food delivery and all whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I know they were supposed to launch... something chop.
Yeah, yeah.
Before Fahim's death.
The food delivery service, I think it's functional now.
Oh yeah, I've not tried it. I should try it. All the best to GoCada.
Yeah.
And that's, at least now they know that. So let's get to the news of the day. Plenty Waka, the Nigerian, what would I call it, mobility? A mobility startup.
Mobility.
Yeah.
They got into Techstars and they are expanding to Canada. I find that interesting.
Yeah.
Canada.
So, yeah. So,
why Canada? Why not another African country where the transportation, daily commuting is a problem?
Well, apparently, according to Techstars, they're saying the problem Plenty Worker is trying to solve is a unique one that affects both developing countries and even developed countries like Canada. So,
interesting.
So Techstars is a Toronto-based accelerator program, and the company will be getting about 120K in funding. So, yeah, I think it makes sense for them to be closer to the country where the accelerator program is holding. And yeah, I was even reading through the Techstars website, and I said, okay, sometimes companies actually decide to stay in the city or country where they held the accelerator program, like the Techstars program. So yeah, I think it's interesting. But when talking about Africa, I don't know how the bus hailing service can compete with Danfo. Yes, people able to escape the wild and rough life of the Danfo with an app like Plenty Worker.
The stability.
Yeah, but
stability and comfort.
Yeah, but that availability, being able to walk out of your street, then hail. Yeah, I'll use the word hail. Hail a Danfo bus immediately and getting to where you're going to. So I struggle to see how they will cope in the Nigerian market.
Well, you know, I mean, they've been running for quite a while, and they've been posting interesting numbers. We can't verify, but I think for people who like you have to go to work, and maybe you have to resume every day by 8 a.m. and I think it's good to know that okay, I have a bus that will pick me up at my place by 7 a.m. so I should be there by that 7 a.m. exactly. I mean, that's how the bus system. I think one of the best bus transportation systems in the world is the London system. The bus is always on time. In fact, if it's 1 or 2 minutes late, it makes news in the
wow.
UK.
Wow.
It's like news, like the buses were late. So they are on time. So you know that okay, every 10 minutes there's a bus. So if I miss the 7 a.m. bus, but I'll meet the 7:10 one. If I miss the 7:10 one, I mean so you can plan your day according to that. People like Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory will like that kind of stability.
Right.
But it helps to know that okay, if I get out of my house by 7 a.m. there's a bus waiting for me. And if I miss that one, okay, if I know that, okay, in my own bus stop, it's only every 30 minutes a bus comes, then I know that I must meet that 7 a.m. one. If not, I will not get another one. So what I'm just trying to wrap my head around is the Canada thing. Because first of all, you said something. You said Techstars is Toronto-based. So I know Techstars is a network of accelerators. They have Techstars Atlanta. They have Techstars Toronto. They have Techstars at New York. They have different... They all function like separate entities, but they are still under the Techstars. Well, I don't want to give wrong information, but yeah, I know that Techstars is based in Colorado in the US.
So,
Colorado in the US. And then they now have like a global, they call it a global accelerator network. So there are like 22 similar programs initially. I'm reading from their Wikipedia page. So I know that they have, because I remember interviewing, I can't remember his name. His surname is Craven. That was 2017 or 18. From Techstars Atlanta. So there's also Techstars Toronto. There are different Techstars. So I'm just wondering, is it because of the fact that they got into Techstars Toronto that they are now trying to expand to Canada? Or is that
they just want to have an office.
I'm not sure.
Maybe
just an office. So maybe part of the condition for getting the money, receiving the funding from Techstars Toronto is to move to Toronto. But when you say expanding, I'm not sure what's happening here. Are they really expanding or they're just moving office to Toronto?
Okay, so based on what the CEO says, Onye Akuma, based on what the CEO says, right? They're saying they're expanding. But yeah, they said if the opportunity they have in Toronto was similar to what could be found in places like Ghana or South Africa, they will definitely be expanding to places like Ghana or South Africa. But it seems they have better opportunities over there in Toronto than in other African countries. So it lends back to an article I published yesterday about global expansions. Like, should you be expanding based on sentiments or should you be expanding based on data? So Fair Money CEO Lauren Henny, that expanded to India, says they tried to expand to Ghana, they tried to expand to Kenya, they tried to expand to Egypt, but to expand to Ghana for Fair Money would cost them $500,000, whereas in India it would cost them $200,000. So, and India is a way bigger market. They have a more robust fintech ecosystem. They have a better credit history. Yeah. So the data made sense. Then for Kenya, they couldn't go and be competing with M-Pesa in Kenya. Egypt, opening a bank account in Egypt is quite tough. Their KYC requirements are really, really tough. And a lot of people in Egypt don't have bank accounts. So based translating that, I actually say that, okay, yeah, these people actually studied the data and decided that, oh, it might make sense to move to Canada than
they even to move to neighboring only country, Canada. That need them and not the sentiment of African needs us.
Yeah, so it's likely going to be a data-driven approach to this.
And I guess they can even package it in a way like, well, I've not been to Toronto, but I'm assuming like every major city or metropolitan city, it has a public transportation system. But maybe the package is like a luxury thing. So instead of entering that bus, that big bus where everybody is there, there's a larger crowd. This is a more comfortable ride, allows you to go short distances. Maybe you don't have to use your car anymore. And because, of course, they have a credit card system and all of that. You can debit them immediately as opposed to, say, maybe telling them to load money into their wallet. So I guess
in another news,
I think we should reach out to
some problems Onyeka. Are not.
Yeah, yeah.
In another news, like in a different sense now, some problems are not really like not and they are not only what's the English? Like they are not only for Africans. These problems exist in other places. It's just that they are more pronounced.
They are not isolated to Africa.
Yes, that's the word. They are not isolated to Africa. So we should not just rule out the fact that it's actually a transportation problem in Toronto. So it's possible.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I've not been to Toronto. I know that the public transportation system in many cities is horrible. You'll be surprised. It's not just Lagos. The only place that I know that gets it right is London. Very, very, like I said, if it's 1 minute late, two to three minutes late, it makes news if buses are that late. So yeah, interesting stuff. I think we'll be following it, but I also think if Onyeka Akuma is willing to talk, we should reach out and get a better context in what they are planning and why they chose Canada. Just like you did, Emmanuel, with the Fair Money story. I think that would be interesting.
All right.
Okay, let's move to Kenya. So Kenya is now, so I think the way it works the same way across African countries.
Right.
There was a time they banned drone usage, like in Nigeria too, it was banned. Many people don't know, it's actually illegal to use drones in Nigeria, but it's not enforced. Anyway, Kenya has now legalized. There are requirements and stipulations. It's just that if they catch you, they can use it against you. But I guess people just go around. Or maybe they have licenses. Who knows? Anyway, Kenya is now, re-legalizing drone ownership. So what's the story there?
So thing is, African countries that have at one time banned drone ownership are just probably skeptical about new technologies and how they are going to control it. You know, when, of course, there are privacy issues that apply to drones, the safety, the risks on other citizens and all. So I think they are just trying to wrap their head.
There's also a security risk.
Yes, they are trying to wrap their head around how people can use this safely without harming others. So yes, Kenya has gotten to that point and they felt like, oh, it's time to embrace the use of drones. But you have to pay for the registration. Mm-hmm. So it seems like good news, right? Because the registration fee is not that costly. It's not that expensive. That is like...
How much is it?
$27, 3,000 Kenya shillings. Like approximately $27.
That's not bad.
It's not bad, right? But then looking at the list of other payments that you have to make, depending on what you want to use the drone for, there are other charges that apply. And one of them adds up as high as 80,000 Kenya shillings. That's like $730. So depending on what you want to use the drone for, that is what we determine how much you will pay. But I guess looking through the list, which I'm trying to get now, looking through the list, you might not end up paying only one of the charges on the list. because you have to certify yourself that you can use it apart from saying I own one. So, but on the surface, face value, it is good. It's a good thing that they're embracing it. At least some countries still ban it. Some countries are just quiet about it until you are caught and you are termed a criminal. But still, it's a good move for Kenya. It's a good move for Kenya.
Yeah, I can understand the situation. It can be a security risk, an unmanned vehicle, because it could be used for espionage. A spy could be using it from another country. The privacy issues. So I can understand government wanting to legalize,
but still regulate. There are
but then the requirements are too many. Yeah,
there are restrictions too. It's only citizens that are allowed to own drones. Government and citizens. If you are not a citizen, if you are like a tourist, you are not allowed to own a drone. So I think that covers for the part where somebody from another country wants to use it for something evil.
A citizen could also be a spy for another country now.
Oh.
A citizen could also be a spy for another country.
Oh God, that's true.
But I mean, I'm seeing it similar to the Nigeria situation. In Nigeria, to get a drone license, to get a drone permit,
probably cost an
arm. Your company has to be incorporated, and you have to have at least 20 million naira in shares.
Yes.
You must fill out a personal history statement at the SSS headquarters in Abuja, and then you pay a non-refundable fee of 500,000.
So if they wait for 6 months, your money is gone.
500,000 naira. Yeah. Then you wait for 6 months for your permit to be issued by the air transport licensing community. Then once they give that, you now have a security clearance, and then you can now use a drone. So I'm not sure this applies to people who use it for content purposes.
Startup that is trying to build that's trying to build a drone service also. Thinking of that, and you've not even raised seed fund. How will you afford that? That's out of
It's interesting. But I mean, again, many countries around the world regulate this. Singapore, Malaysia, all of that. But I think they have, like in Singapore, for example, if your drone weighs 7 kilograms or less, you don't need a permit.
Oh.
As long as you fly it 200 feet. As long as you fly it just below or equal to 200 feet above the ground. But if you are flying a drone that is heavier than 7 kilograms and above 200 feet or 60 meters, then you need a permit. Then you can't fly a drone over people or crowds. Your drone cannot interfere with emergency services. Your drones cannot be flown within 5 kilometers of an airport. So when you see this regulation, you see the sense in it, because you can understand why they are saying this. So maybe drones that can be used for espionage or for even carrying out assassinations will probably weigh more than 7 kilograms. They've looked at it because you'll be carrying ammunition and all of that.
Right.
You're flying above that 60 meters or 200 feet, maybe for some reason. You know, you can see the sense in why they are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
The requirements seem to be more geared towards regulating, actually. But when you look at the list for Kenya and Nigeria, and it just feels,
as
somehow,
I said,
they're
still
like,
trying to wrap their head around it. They don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they should pay attention to Singapore and learn from them, for example.
You think?
I think it's important to do that. But I'm charging you with this. I want you to look into that. Look at other countries around the world, what they do. You can look at the US, but try and look at countries like Singapore, Malaysia, India, and compare them to African countries like Nigeria. Can even check whether, because this regulation I was reading about Nigeria is from 5 years ago. Maybe it has changed. We don't know. Let's look at it and compare and contrast, balance. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, tried to check it. That was last year, but I don't think I saw any new updates, and everything was looking big. But I think they've updated the requirements. I don't know how possible it would be to actually try to register right now.
We will not try to register. Just look at the requirements. And maybe we talk to a few people who use drones a lot, YouTubers, have they had any trouble? How have they? Do they have a permit for their drone? Maybe we can make it anonymous so that we don't make them targets.
Okay.
I think that would be very interesting. There's a cultural angle to this and there's a policy angle to this. I think we can look into that. I think it would be interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Let's come back to Nigeria and about government still. Everybody has said the news by now, unless you're living under a rock or you're not in Nigeria. USSD charges. It's been, Emmanuel, you've been following it since last year or two years ago. Give us a timeline of everything.
Okay, yeah.
Because I'm hearing that banks are owing 42 billion naira to telcos.
Yeah.
Okay, just give us the back story from the timeline.
Okay, so in 2019, MTN users got a message that, from today you'll be paying 4 naira per session. So then we now got to know that, okay, there's a dispute between the telecom companies and the banks on who should pay for USSD sessions. So the bank says, the customer should pay it. But for the telcos, they're saying, no, the customers are not our, your customers that are using your USSD service are not our customers. We are offering you this service, so you should pay us. So that was the argument then. Then it was just different conversations. The CBN government said this. The Minister of Communications and the Digital Economy said that. It was so many things that was quite confusing. And of course, if you read the article from 2019, you'll be probably confused. And last year, then we now heard that, the banks are owing telcos 17 billion. That was around August 2020. 17 billion. Now, barely 6 months later, we are hearing that banks are owing them 42 billion naira.
So they've not been paying. Yeah.
So the Association of Telecom Companies said that, from 15th of March, they will withdraw the USSD service from the banks. Then the next day, the Minister of Communications stepped in and said, wait, you guys chill. Let's talk about this. So they invited the CBN governor, they invited the executive vice chairman of the NCC and the banks and telcos. So after the meeting on March 15th, that was on Monday, they decided that, they'll be charging a flat fee of 6 naira 98 kobo per USSD transactions as against the per session billing they were using before. So the minimum they were charging before was 4 naira per session. So apparently, Nigerian bank users have been paying for the USSD since the service came into existence, and we've been paying per session. So a session,
but the banks have not been remitting the money to the telcos.
Exactly, the banks have not been remitting the money to the telcos. And I even had a chat with one of them, and they said they're even confused about the whole thing. Like, it's not like you are not charging the customers for it, but give us our share. It's now the problem. The 6 naira 98 kobo seemed like a new thing because most people were not aware that they were paying for USSD.
So it's even lower, lower than, right? Because this is now per transaction rather than per. No, this is now per session rather than per transaction.
It's the other way around. Per transaction instead of per session. So per session can be likened to 20 seconds spent on the USSD app. So by the time
that time was for last year, it was for every 12 seconds.
No, 12 seconds.
Yes.
Okay, yes. So imagine you want to transfer money and you say, okay, press 1 for this, press 2 for this, and
So it's actually cheaper now. This amounts to like maybe two cents per session now.
No.
Sorry, is it, no, per transaction,
it's,
sorry.
It's not much cheaper.
It's cheaper.
Is it?
It's cheaper because it's now per transaction. So a complete transaction. It doesn't matter how long the transaction takes.
Or right? If it fails,
they didn't say what happens if it fails. Though. That's the the only caveat there.
Okay. 6 naira 98 kobo, which is about roughly 2 cents. So that people that are listening can do the conversion.
But considering everything, I think the USSD service should be free, like for customers, considering how important the USSD is for people coming into the banking sector.
Yeah, but it takes a lot to maintain, and I can understand the telcos, their issue, because it needs to be online all the time, and don't forget there are power issues. This is a communication thing. How do I call it now? I'm an implementation of communication technology. So power needs to be up all the time. You need to maintain servers and whatnot. So there should be a cost to it. But the question is, should it be the users or the banks paying? I actually think it should be the banks.
Yeah, the banks should pay the cost. Should pay the telcos. Because it's giving them a lot of traction.
Yeah, like banks, you know, this thing is very easy money for banks. And I'm not trying to talk like someone who doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't see Nigerian banks doing much banking. I mean, that's why, was it last year, the CBN now created policies, the central bank, trying to forcing banks to start giving loans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they started launching all those, their loan solutions.
Right.
You get, because banks are supposed to give loans to businesses, to, you know, they don't do that. They just prefer to just charge you for USSD,
what's the incentive?
Notification.
What's the incentive? Charge you 50 naira for me.
They make so much money from those little charges. They make so much money for it. If you sit down and read the ones that are publicly listed, read their yearly or annual, they make a lot of money from those things.
Yes, yeah, and they make a lot of money. The side effect of this is that, well, talking about the financial inclusion, agency banking is doing more in that aspect. So when you are now putting this kind of charges on USSD, someone like me that barely use my mobile app, I've immediately gone to open a digital bank account, because I can't deal. I basically live on USSD, and now you're going to be charging me on it. But there is a digital bank
They've been charging you. They've actually been charging you.
Right.
Really?
We don't know. You know, these charges have been cloaked in something, say maybe card maintenance or SMS or email. They are not clearly stated.
They've definitely been charging you.
Don't
forget what Emmanuel said. Was it last year or 2 years ago that MTN stated that? So apparently other telcos didn't mention it. Just because MTN has said, now notified their users. That's where the uproar started.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that's when we now realize that, Nine Mobile, Airtel, all the other guys actually charge us. You get so... I think they've been charging you. Just do, like you said, it's just entering all the hidden fees. You know, sometimes, someone like me, I track every single transaction I do.
Hmm.
But no matter how diligent I am, every time there's always 100 naira left, 200 naira. What's going on?
It's
definitely those charges. Yes. It's always those charges.
But it's better for me not to know, now that I know. Excuse me, I'm gone.
Like they say, God.
Thing will actually make me appreciate what these digital banks are doing, like Sparkle and Kuda Bank, like offering free transfers for their users. Bank. I mean, they are bearing up like a lot of costs on their neck instead of charging users for it. Yeah, I think kudos to those guys. They're doing good work.
I've never really gotten to them anyway, like gotten into them. I open accounts, but I've not been able to really see the value for me. And I'm supposed to know, but I don't know.
Until you use them.
None of them has managed to... I've tried to... I've opened accounts. None of them have really captured my interest or made me feel like, I have to switch to this permanently.
No, permanent.
For now, I don't know. Maybe... Maybe my bank treats me well. I'm not going to mention the name of my bank because they didn't pay for it now. Anyway. Okay, so let's move to the story that everybody is so concerned about, especially in this age of the pandemic. We're still in the pandemic anyway.
Right.
Entertainment, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is cracking down on password sharing.
Right.
That we all live by.
Right?
What's going on?
So, last week, Thursday, that was March 11, it was reported that Netflix users will soon start getting notification, that is those that are using shared accounts, and the account have probably exceeded the number of people that should be sharing that account. So they will start getting notification like, is this your account? Are you living in the same house with the owner of this account? If not, logging into your own account or something, or they start kicking people out from accounts like that. So yes, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because many people depend on this to use online video streaming platforms, and it's not just on Netflix, it's on virtually all streaming platforms. And
music streaming, video streaming, all of
that's,
them.
They understand it. That's why they have like family accounts and accounts that can be shared because people might not be able to bear the cost. So sharing account is not illegal, as I said. For example, on Netflix, the premium account can take four users. The standard account can take like two users that can share. And then, so it is not illegal. But what is illegal is people using packages, number of people using the packages more than
family plans.
Yes, it's more than required. So what does Netflix want to do? The interesting part is that at the beginning, this thing was not like an issue for them. They know that people do it. As at that, I think it was 2016 when Netflix made its largest expansion to many countries. That was when it came to Africa. It was not a problem. But subsequently, they realized that this is affecting business. Because in the real sense, number of people that are supposed to put money and into and add to your revenue, they are sharing and they are not paying for it. So now they are planning to do something about it. But they promised that it will be customer friendly. I don't know how they want to do that because there's no how the customer will not be hurt. And before I started using the shared account, I didn't know that account sharing was like illegal in some way because I would just see people, maybe I put a title on my status and people would just say, let me have your account. And I'll tell them my account is full. My package is full. And they will sound like, what am I talking about? I didn't understand. I think there are people like that. I just feel that I can just take your password and use your account. So maybe when people start getting notification, they will get their own account or leave and go to another platform. But this will definitely have an effect.
Pet peeve for me.
It's what?
It's a pet peeve for me. Like that sharing of password thing. So for example, when I used to have a Netflix account, the lowest one where it's just one device, one person, right? And then people ask to share. Not that I don't want to share. My issue is I share, right? And then you scatter my recommendations because I start seeing things I don't watch.
Or they go and share with another person.
Like a family plan. I think the family plan was, they go and share it. So sometimes I know that this person, I can't trust this person. If I give the person the password, the person will share with like 20 more people. I think there was a report done by a Wired writer a few years back, and she found out that her account was shared with 90 people. So like she shared the password. She has an account that she was sharing an account to someone, and then she investigated and found out that there are 90 people sharing that account. So you can imagine how that would screw up the algorithms and the recommendations. But then that's what the family plan was created for. So the family plan is created to be shared. You have different profiles and all of that, right? But then they're saying, okay, you must share it with people living in the same house with you. The truth is, how can you tell that, to be honest? How can you tell that they are living in the same place? Unless you're tracking,
tracking location,
GPS data and all of that. And location.
Privacy.
Yeah, but I think they know. And they don't bother to track that. Or maybe they don't. I don't know. But what me I'm getting from the news, what I noticed was that what they're trying to do is actually two-factor authentication. So when you log in and then someone else has your password and tries to log in, they'll ask the person that they will say they've sent a code to the phone or email attached to that.
And you think people are not very generous. And we still share that details.
They will still share,
share
it.
So I still don't
know. I'm not sure how it's going to work without them tracking your location. But then you could be in the same location when you set it up and then you move away after that. I don't know. Another thing they can explore is, I know they have mobile-only plans that they use in India and South Africa where the plan is cheaper than all the major plans, but it's only restricted to a mobile phone and standard definition. I don't really see how they're going to stop it, but it will be interesting to see.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah. Okay, so interesting times. And we'd like to know what you think about everything we've discussed. Plenty workers, expansion to Canada, how would that work out? Netflix sharing of password, USSD charges in Nigeria, drone re-regulation or re-legalization of
drone
usage in Kenya, and how that compares to other countries. We'd like to hear. You can tweet at us. Our Twitter handle is @techpoint.ng. That's DOTNG. Or you can also share your thoughts and use the hashtag TechPointAfricaPodcast, or you can email us at podcast@techpoint.africa. And if you are listening for the first time, maybe someone shared this to you. Emmanuel, where can they get the podcast?
Yeah, you can get this podcast on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or anywhere else you get your podcast. And if you don't like any of those podcast apps, you could head over to podcast.techpoint.africa to get the latest updates. And yeah, if you're a SoundCloud user, we're no longer on SoundCloud. So yeah, get the latest updates on the platforms I just mentioned. And please don't forget Beauty in Africa, our sister podcast, where we highlight the best innovations out of Africa. And yeah, you can get those, you get that podcast on the platforms I mentioned, or beautyin.africa. Yeah, that's...
Yes. And next week is our digital summit event. Let's not forget that. Emmanuel.
It's promising to be an exciting time. Bring in the likes of Buchi Okoro, the CEO of Quidax Exchange, and discussing why you should even care about this digital currencies in the first place. We're bringing Kule Taiwo, he's a digital forensic detective with the Nigerian Police Force. So we're going to be talking about security precautions and how to avoid scams, frauds, and Ponzi schemes. So yeah, we're bringing in top experts from the industry. We're going to be talking about the crypto ban and how it affects you. And and if you are looking to get your first Bitcoin, we're going to be discussing the future of investment. So yeah, don't miss out. And if the physical tickets are sold out, but you can still join the conversation online. You can head over to currency.techpoint.africa.
Virtually.
You can join in virtually.
So we'll put that link in the episode notes or description. Currency.techpoint.africa. We also put a list, the complete list to the a complete list of all the speakers, so that you can see. Yeah. All right. So cool. We hope to see you next week, either physically at the event or you're joining virtually. Nifemi, last words.
Stay safe, everyone.
Stay safe. I like that. And on that note, we sign out.
Bye. See you next month.
Bye. Bye.